Five First Saturdays by Father Nicholas Gruner. This Fatima Classic is from the Fatima Conference held in October 1999 in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada.
The second speech of the day is on the magnificent promise and request of the five first Saturdays of Our Lady of Fatima. You remember I touched on it a little bit yesterday, but today you're going to get an entire presentation on it by Father Nicholas Gruner. So I bring Father Nicholas Gruner to the podium on five first Saturdays. Father Gruner.
Thank you. Perhaps we'll start with the Hail Mary. That way it'll make up for some of the deficiencies of my speech. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. The Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. People ask, what can we do about the message of Fatima? What can we do where we find ourselves? And as I mentioned yesterday or the day before, that the child Jesus says, it's never too late for you to have recourse to Jesus and Mary. And so that each of us can have recourse to Jesus and Mary, but the way to have recourse to Jesus and Mary is many, of course. We can certainly simply say Hail Mary. We can pray the Rosary, which is, of course, part of the message of Fatima. But one of the very special ways to have recourse to Jesus and Mary is taught in this request for the five first Saturdays. And it is something that is close to all of us. All of us can do something about this without depending on almost anybody else. And that is, and it is a very essential request in the message of Fatima, it is one of the two requests that Our Lady promises to bring about peace in the world when we fulfill it. It's one of the two requests that when she promises to bring about the conversion of Russia and also the salvation of many souls. In the second part of the secret, we find the statement that if mankind does not amend, then God will punish the world by means of war, hunger, persecution of the Church, and persecution of the Holy Father. She then says, to prevent this, I shall come back to ask for the communions of reparation on the first Saturdays of the month, and for the Holy Father to consecrate Russia to me. If my requests are granted, Russia will be converted and there will be peace. And so, this five first Saturdays is in the context of those two special requests that will stop the four punishments that mankind is enduring today: war, famine, persecution of the Church, and persecution of the Holy Father. The solution to this, one is for the Holy Father and the bishops in a very public way to engage their authority, whereby the whole world, Catholic and non-Catholic, will see that it is only through the exercise of the Pope and the bishop's authority, the bishop's in union with the Pope, that peace is given to the world, and that is the request for the consecration. And God has requested this so as to give witness to the truth of the fact that there are two authorities. This is the temporal and the spiritual, as defined by Pope Boniface VIII in 1302 in the Bull Lutum Sanctum. And that we will not have peace, we will not have blessings, as our Lord says, seek first the kingdom of God and all things will be added unto you. And God wants us to know that to seek the kingdom of God, we must seek it in the Catholic faith. And to give witness to this, he has limited this grace to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, but especially and particularly through the power, the authority that he's given to the Catholic bishops and the Pope together. And this is one that's perhaps most dramatic, and it will be most dramatic when it's seen. But the grace leading to this act of consecration and connected with it is the five first Saturdays. Now, yesterday we were asked a question about, is it necessary that enough people be praying and making sacrifices before the Holy Father will get the grace to do the consecration of Russia. I don't think I adequately answered that, and it's tied in with this first Saturdays, and so I will address that right here. That Sister Lucy says that if the Holy Father, even though there's not been enough reparation made up to now, I have to agree with the intent of the questioner, even though there's not been enough reparation made up to now to merit even the grace of the consecration, if the Holy Father would promise at the same time that he consecrates Russia to promote the five first Saturdays, that would be adequate as a grace in order to bring about the grace for the consecration of Russia. In other words, that the Holy Father, when he brings about this solemn and public ceremony of consecrating Russia, at the same time in the ceremony of this, he makes a solemn and public promise to Our Lady that he will promote, that the Church will promote the five first Saturdays. That will be adequate, something like the 54-day novena we're praying. That is, if you pray the 54-day novena, you make three novenas in thanksgiving and three in petition. The three in petition are said first. Sometimes you get your grace even before you finish your first novena, but you should pray all 54 days anyway. And sometimes you don't get the special favor you're praying for until after the petition is over and even well into the thanksgiving. So Our Lady will take it as done if the promotion of the five first Saturdays is promised along with the consecration of Russia, and will, in anticipation of the grace and of the faithfulness to the five first Saturdays, will give us the grace of the consecration of Russia. So if my requests are granted, that is, the request for the consecration of Russia and my request for the five first Saturdays, then the Holy Father will consecrate Russia, Russia will be converted to the Catholic faith, and the world will have peace. Humanity will have peace. So let us, although we haven't talked much in detail about the five first Saturdays, there's some very important things. The first thing about the five first Saturdays is that Our Lord Himself wants it, and He makes it very plain that He is the one really asking for it. Sister Lucy was a postulant, a Dorothean postulant. She had just entered the order in 1925. She had been trained by the sisters, the Dorothean sisters, in Porto, not far from Porto, and she decided to join the sisters at convent in 1925. On December 10th, she was in her convent cell. In Pontevedra, in case it's a small Spanish city, it's about an hour or so from the Spanish-Portuguese border in the north. And in this convent, as she was there, Our Lord came to her as a child of about 12 years old. And He was standing on a cloud, and beside Him was the Blessed Virgin Mary with her Immaculate Heart exposed. And Sister Lucy knelt in their presence, and the child Jesus spoke first. And He said, "Behold the heart of your mother, all circled with thorns, which ungrateful men put there at every moment for their blasphemies and ingratitude." You think about the word ingratitude. I've mentioned that the Blessed Virgin, first of all, is our mother. To go back to the crucifixion, our Lord says, "Behold your mother," speaking to St. John, but St. John representing all the disciples of our Lord. That the Blessed Virgin became fully the mother of our Lord's disciples at the crucifixion. And that this, she is our mother because she generates us into the order of grace. And you'll find this in the Second Vatican Council, in chapter 8, I forget the paragraph right now, but that the Blessed Virgin is called our mother because she truly generates us into the life of sanctifying grace. And that is her title. And when René Laurentin and others wanted to minimalize Our Lady's role, they wanted her to be called mother simply because she gives a good example. And the Theological Commission of the Council said, no, it's much more than that. Certainly she gives a good example, but it's much more than that. And of course, this is in keeping with the teaching of the Church that Mary is a mediatrix of all graces, and that Mary is a dispensatrix of all graces, and that she's co-redemptrix. That graces are given to us through the instrumentality of the Blessed Virgin, and that in fact she generates life. There's two lives in us. One is our natural life we receive from our natural mother, and one is our supernatural life we receive from our supernatural mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so at your baptism, it is not only the action of the priest or the minister of the Church, but it is also the action of the Blessed Virgin operating secretly in your soul at the same moment, generating grace in your soul. And as St. Augustine tells us, and St. Louis de Montfort, that the Blessed Virgin, we are born of the Blessed Virgin when we enter into heaven, but our supernatural life is begun of the Blessed Virgin when she generates grace in her soul at baptism. And so all the sacraments have the action of the Blessed Virgin as well. This is the subject of my thesis for my licentiate, and so I don't want to spend too much time here on it. However, if you have questions, I'll deal with them later. My simple point here is our Lord, first of all, says, "Behold the heart of your mother." He sent to his sister Lucy. And it is not just a pious phrase, but in fact, it's literally true that the Blessed Virgin is our mother. And our Lord wants us then to treat her as our mother and to have compassion on her heart, and that her heart is pained, her heart is pierced by these thorns. And these thorns are the blasphemies and ingratitudes of men. Most of creation does not recognize the Blessed Virgin's role. Most Catholics, unfortunately, are ignorant about their obligations towards the Blessed Virgin as their mother. And most Catholics are not aware that they can console the Blessed Virgin by their acts of reparation. So our Lord says to them, to Lucy and through her to all of us, "Behold the heart of your mother, all circled with thorns, which ungrateful men put there at every moment by their blasphemies and ingratitude. Do you at least seek to console her by making acts of reparation?" And so then the Blessed Virgin, with her hand on Lucy's shoulder, her left hand on Lucy's shoulder, speaks and says to her, "Behold my immaculate heart, all circled with thorns, which ungrateful men put there at every moment by their blasphemies and ingratitude. Do you at least seek to console me by making reparation and announce in my name that I promise to come at the hour of death with all the graces necessary for salvation to those souls who on the first Saturday of 5 consecutive months go to confession, receive Holy Communion, pray 5 decades of the Rosary, and keep me company for 15 minutes while meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary. Doing this with the intention of making reparation to me." So here you have Our Lady's great promise for this little act of reparation. It would, and it is, would be and is a consolation to her that we do the 5 first Saturdays. Of course, we don't have to wait till the first Saturday of the month to make acts of reparation. That is clear enough from the prayer Our Lady taught on July 13th, when she told them, "When you make a sacrifice, say the following prayer: O my Jesus, it is for love of you, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for sins against the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer this sacrifice to you." And so we can make sacrifices, and we should make sacrifices every day. And certainly, one of the intentions to offer these sacrifices is in reparation for sins against the Immaculate Heart. But it is a particular devotion, which actually, as Frère Michel, in his book, his second volume, which is called The Secret of the Church, Frère Michel traces the devotion of the first Saturdays in the Church well before the Fatima message and these communions of reparation on the first Saturday. Of course, Saturday is a day chosen because it is Our Lady's Day, And why is Saturday particularly Our Lady's Day? Because it is the day after the crucifixion in which she kept the faith, despite all appearances to the contrary, and she pondered in her heart the sufferings of her Son on that first Holy Saturday. And so in commemoration of Our Lady's sorrows, as well as her faith, as well as her love for her crucified Son, the Church commemorates Saturday in its liturgy for centuries in honor of Our Lady. And so it is for Saturday, that's why Saturday is chosen. And the Church has had a practice of communions of reparation on Saturdays, and you can read about it for those who want the historical background to this and also theological in Frère Michel's book. And so the message of Fatima, although in some ways is new, it also builds completely on what the Church has always done and taught. And so the message of Fatima then, Our Lady asks us to do the five first Saturdays and promises salvation. When you consider that St. Thomas Aquinas tells us in his Summa and proves to us from Scripture and tradition and theology that no one can merit the grace of final perseverance. That the grace of final perseverance is really ultimately the only grace we need, but of course we can't get it all at once. The grace of final perseverance is the grace of dying in a state of grace. And no one can merit that grace, and yet Our Lady promises it to us for the simple act of the five first Saturdays. So, Frère Michel asks, why is it that Our Lord and Our Lady would make such a great promise for such a little act of devotion? And he answers his own question by saying, because they're convinced that if you practice the five first Saturdays, that you will be touched in a special way, that you will be moved, obviously with the help of grace, but if you put yourself through that exercise, then you will advance enough that they will be able to give you that grace of final perseverance. This is not to say that we should do the five first Saturdays and then fall back into mortal sin and say, well, we have that promise. We have to make the five first Saturdays in the state of grace. Obviously, Our Lord, speaking to Sister Lucy on another occasion, reminded the faithful that, of course, when you receive communion on the first Saturday of the month, like any other time, you have to receive Holy Communion in the state of grace. So it says in the Psalms, with those who are sincere, the Lord is direct, but with those who try to deceive Our Lord, the Lord is Himself astute. So as long as we're not trying to outsmart Our Lord by taking advantage of His promises, He does encourage us to do these practices because, and that's why He gives us the promise. That if we do it in the spirit He gives it to us, He will grant us this grace of final perseverance. So it's not a small thing. And unfortunately, the practice is not well known in the Church. This is certainly not a controversial part. None of Fatima to me is controversial, but for those who think about the constipation of Russia, or the rise of Russia, or the prophecy that the whole world will be enslaved, for some people that may be hard to swallow. That's what Our Lady has told us. But the message of the five first Saturdays is something that's is a message of the heart. It's a message which can only uplift, and anyone should not find it hard to either believe or practice. And it is an appeal both from the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary to have pity on the Blessed Virgin, that you can console her, that you personally, not the person beside you, but you yourself, can console her. And that by your simple acts of devotion, that they make a difference. The Blessed Virgin is offended by blasphemies and ingratitude. And Sister Lucy asked, why for five for Saturdays, why not nine like the nine first Fridays, why not seven, like the seven sorrows, for the seven sorrows of Our Lady? And our Lord answered, and He said, because of the five major sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Our Lord then enumerated these five major sins. He said, this is in reparation for sins those who blaspheme the Blessed Virgin in her Immaculate Conception, for those who blaspheme the Blessed Virgin in her perpetual virginity, those who blaspheme the Blessed Virgin in her prerogative and privilege of being truly the Mother of God, those who blaspheme the Blessed Virgin by seeking to take away from the hearts of children devotion to their mother, and finally, those who offend Our Lady, who blaspheme her and attack her in her sacred statues and images. And so Our Lady is offended. And just as if someone were to slap your face or to say an unkind word to you, especially if it wasn't deserved, that would hurt you. And it would hurt you even more if it came from a friend. However, if some other friend saw this happen to you, went up to you and gave you a little gift, said a kind word to you, tried to console you by some gesture, although there would still be the pain of the first act of the offense, the second act nevertheless would give you some consolation, that at least someone liked you, that someone saw the injustice of what was done to you, that someone was trying to make you feel better. And this is what reparation is about. That even though other people hate and blaspheme or simply are ungrateful to the Blessed Virgin, we at least can console her. And that by making these little acts of reparation, she is consoled. And a way that pleases her especially is the acts of the communions of reparation on the first Saturday of the month. And so, we can then understand our Lord's concern. I'd like to tell you a little story about before the apparition of, or around the time of the apparition. Lucy was in Pontevedra, she was the postulant, so she was had the job of emptying the garbage. So one morning she was out, and I've been in Pontevedra a number of times, and there's a stairway outside that comes down from the second floor where Lucy was carrying the garbage down from. She got to the courtyard, and through the gate out to the street came a young boy, about 10 or so. And Lucy, who had this vocation from Fatima, Our Lady said to her on June 13th, 1917, that she was to stay on earth sometime longer to promote devotion to the Immaculate Heart. And so she talked to this little boy, and she asked him if he knew how to pray the Hail Mary. And he said yes. And she asked him to pray the Hail Mary, but he wouldn't do it. But she prayed the Hail Mary with him, and he would pray it with her, but he'd never say it by himself. And she, since she was busy after trying to catechize one of the village boys about devotion to Our Lady, she asked the boy, do you know where the Church of St. Mary Major is? Not far from Pontevedra in the city, in the old city, about 5 minutes walk from the convent, is a church known as St. Mary Major. It's been there since the year about 1000 A.D. And the boy said, yes, I know where it is. Lucy said, well, go up there and ask the Blessed Virgin to put Jesus into your heart. And the boy said, yes, I'll do that. And off he walked. So that was around December, at the same time of the apparition of December 10th, whether it was before or afterwards, Sister Lucy doesn't remember. On February 15th, 1926, just 2 months and 5 days later, Lucy was again out in the courtyard, and she was emptying the garbage, a very prosaic occupation. And this same little boy seemed to walk in from the street, from through the courtyard gates which were open. She recognized him and she said, did you do what I told you? Did you go to the Church of St. Mary Major and ask the Blessed Virgin put Jesus in your heart. And before her eyes, this little boy was transformed. And she recognized him as being Jesus. And he said to her, "And you, have you done what the Blessed Mother asked you to do? Have you promoted the devotion of the five first Saturdays?" So here it is, just 2 months and 5 days later, and the child Jesus comes back. This time, he refers to the Blessed Virgin as my mother, that is, the mother of Jesus. "What have you done to promote devotion to the Immaculate Heart of my mother?" Sister Lucy had not been idle, but as far as our Lord was concerned, it really wasn't enough. She had told Mother Superior, and she'd spoken to her Father Confessor, and Mother Superior had said that she could do nothing. Father Confessor had said that he wanted the apparition repeated because he had some intellectual problems with it or whatever it was. So our Lord was told these things by Sister Lucy in response. Well, he did ask her, "What were you doing?" So she responded, "My Jesus, you know what my confessor said to me in the letter I read you." The confessor had written a letter to her, so she read it to him in her prayer. "My Jesus, you know what my confessor said to me in the letter that I read you. He said that the vision had to be repeated, that there had to be facts permitting us to believe it, and that the Mother Superior alone could not spread this devotion." So our Lord answers the objections of the Father Superior, the confessor. It's quite interesting. "It is true that Mother Superior alone can do nothing, but with my grace, she can do anything. It is enough that your confessor gives you permission, and that your superior announces this for it to be believed by the people, even if they do not know who it was revealed to." So here you have a very simple response. And again, it reminds me of the littleness of the way of St. Teresa of the Child Jesus. It's something adapted to each of us in this room. And that is that she can reveal it. She didn't have to do anything. She just had to tell somebody else. She didn't have to get into the printing presses or stand in the pulpit or make a big announcement or clang the cymbals or something like that. All she had to do was to tell others, even without revealing that it came from Lucy of Fatima. To me, it's something that we underestimate, and yet the people of the advertising world, they say the best advertising campaign is the advertising campaign of the tongue, that is, recommendations by others, that is, telling others and others telling others. That is the most effective of all campaigns. And certainly we see how that it's done, that at Fatima, despite the fact that the Masons in charge of the government had imprisoned the children, despite the fact that sometime later they called out the army and prevented the people from attending on the anniversary of the 13th of the month, that by the word of mouth, that the message of Fatima was spread throughout all of Portugal, despite the fact that they didn't have the press or other means of communication, social means of communication. And so our Lord says, this is what Mother Superior can do. So Sister Lucy responds by saying, "But my confessor said in his letter that the devotion already exists in the world because many souls receive you every first Saturday of the month in honor of Our Lady and the 15 mysteries of the Rosary." And our Lord responds, he says, "It is true, my daughter, that many souls begin, but few persevere to the very end. And those who persevere do it to receive the graces promised. The souls who make the five first Saturdays with fervor and to make reparation to the heart of your Heavenly Mother please me more than those who make 15 but are lukewarm and indifferent." Lucy, "My Jesus, many souls find it difficult to confess on Saturday. Would you allow a confession within 8 days to be valid? Yes, it can even be made later on, provided that the souls are in the state of grace when they receive me on the first Saturday, and that they have the intention of making reparation to the Sacred Heart of Mary. My Jesus, and those who forget to form this intention, they can form it at the next confession, taking advantage of the first opportunity to go to confession. But after that, Lucy describes, he disappeared without me finding out anything more about heaven's desires up to the present. I find this second apparition in a way very touching, because here we have the child Jesus coming back 2 months and 5 days later, and gently, but nevertheless, rebuking Lucy, the Mother Superior, and her Father Confessor. And the fact that he only waited 2 months and 5 days shows to us how impatient, I have sometimes used the phrase, the divine impatience of our Lord to bring about this devotion. And so, let us not say we cannot do anything because we can't do great things. Let us resolve today, first of all, to do these ourselves. If we've done them already, there's no harm, certainly, and there's great graces for doing them again and again. Secondly, let us resolve to do what we can, even if it's only telling your next-door neighbor or someone you meet in church about the five first Saturdays. If you feel inclined to do more, we have printed 1,200,000 copies of issue 49, which is dedicated entirely to the five first Saturdays. And it's mostly Sister Lucy's description, much of what I've given you here. But you will see, and as one person has told me who has promoted the five first Saturdays, there's no book or booklet anywhere that gives it to you in one place altogether like this little booklet. It's taken right out of Frère Michel's book, a good part of, almost all of it. People ask then, what are the conditions for the five first Saturdays? The conditions are, as the Lord said, that we do these things with the intention of making reparation to the Immaculate Heart. That's the first condition, that the purpose of it is to make reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The second condition is that it be on the first Saturday of the month. Now the actual acts of prayer and piety are as follows. To go to confession, it doesn't have to be on the day itself of the first Saturday. It can be 8 days before or after, or even longer if we haven't had the opportunity to go before then. As long as we receive communion in the state of grace, and of course that's the second condition, which is communion on the first Saturday of the month. The third condition is to pray 5 decades of the rosary, and the fourth condition is to spend 15 more minutes meditating on the mysteries of the rosary. And so these are the conditions in which our Lord gives a tremendous promise, Our Lady gives this tremendous promise of the grace of final perseverance. She will come to us at the hour of death with all the graces necessary for salvation for those souls who have done this. To this little act of reparation, fulfilled by the faithful, whether before the consecration of Russia or in promise after the consecration of Russia, together with the consecration of Russia, will bring about peace in the world. When we consider that the United States, for example, not to mention other countries, has spent something like $50 billion a year in shoring up the communist empire. Of course, it's given for another reason. They tell us it's for making democracy work in Russia. But when you consider what $50 billion represents, it's not the wealth I'm talking about, but that represents a lot of work, a lot of economic activity, and for much less than $1 million, the church has the power. In fact, I can make the promise, as I've said it before, I would finance Not I, of course, but with the help of good people like yourselves, I would be able to finance whatever expenses there were for the Church to bring about the consecration of Russia, which would simply be the amount of money needed to communicate to the Church, to the bishops, to announce the day that it would be done on, and things like that. When you consider all the human efforts and all the suffering and all the pain gone into not only World War II and all the wars subsequent to that, what God asks is much easier, much simpler, and much more effective. And in keeping with our Lord's words a few years later, it's never too late for you to have recourse to the hearts of Jesus and Mary. Therefore, this is something that's within the power of all of us. First of all, in our own lives. Our Lord even says elsewhere, if you can't go to communion, if it's impossible for you to go to communion on the first Saturday of the month, your priest, your confessor, your parish priest, or simply a priest for a good reason, can transfer that to Sunday. You can offer your communion on Sunday at Sunday Mass and make your preparation that day instead if you can't go to communion on the first Saturday. And so our Lord makes it very possible for everyone. Most Catholics certainly have access to Mass on Sunday, and therefore they can go to communion on Sunday. They can pray 5 decades of the Rosary on any given day, and they can spend, surely, out of 24 hours, they can find 15 minutes to meditate on the mysteries of the Rosary. So this is something that is doable by every Catholic, other than those who are so far away from a church that they can't get to Mass even on Sunday, or if they're sick or something like that, so that it's impossible for them to get to church. And so this is something everyone can do. And I would urge you, those who are more apostolically inclined, to get copies of this. We have already distributed close to 1 million of our 1,200,000 run, but we still have copies left. And of course, we'll put it back on press when we run out of these, to read about it and to pass it on to others. For those who want a more complete explanation, you of course will find it more completely still given in this book, The Whole Truth About Fatima, Volume 2. It's in towards the beginning, you'll find it starting around page 245. And of course, Frère François, and talks about it here in this book, Mary's Immaculate Heart and Your Salvation. The Blessed Virgin asks Lucy to announce in my name. We can take that as a commission ourselves, to announce in her name that she promises all the graces necessary for salvation at the hour of death. I'm sure that there, other thing Our Lady speaks about is that there are many souls that the justice of God condemns to hell for sins committed against my Immaculate Heart. But she comes and asks us to make reparation. Here we see the sweet revenge of Our Lady, and that is, she comes to ask us to make reparation so she can convert the very souls who will otherwise go to hell. There are people who are convinced that they are serving our Lord, and they either speak against Our Lady, or they treat her as if she were simply unimportant, or treat her as if she were nobody. These acts of both people who blaspheme, who speak against the Blessed Virgin, these offend Our Lady, but also the ingratitude of so many. As Tobias in the Old Testament tells his son, remember the pains that your mother endured in bringing you to birth. It is certainly an injunction that every son and daughter should be told about, to honor his mother and remember what she has done for us. But there's a deeper meaning as well, and that is, it refers above all to the Blessed Virgin. And that is, we should remember the pains that the Blessed Virgin endured in bringing us to spiritual birth. If we remembered what the Blessed Virgin has endured for each one of us, then we would not be ungrateful. and you consider that the Blessed Virgin is the Queen of Martyrs because she suffered at the foot of the cross more than all the martyrs together. She suffered in seeing her son die on the cross. She suffered there in giving us spiritual birth. Remember that we are redeemed through the blood of Christ. There's no salvation, there's no redemption except through the shedding of blood, says Sacred Scripture in the book of Hebrews, letter to the Hebrews. And our Lord would not have had His sacred blood to shed for us had not, first of all, the Blessed Virgin given her free consent to be His mother. She was asked by the Archangel Gabriel if she would consent to be the mother of God. Now, the Blessed Virgin knew the prophecies of Isaiah. She knew that by consenting to be the mother of Jesus, that she would become the mother of sorrows. She knew this, and yet she accepted, first of all, because of her great love of God, but also because of her great love for each one of you and me. She saw that by her acceptance, that we would have salvation. And so, we should be grateful because of what she endured for us. We should remember the pains that she endured in bringing us to birth. And of course, these pains, Our Lady would have rather died on the cross herself than see her son die there. So it was more painful for her to watch her son die. And yet she accepted these pains willingly for our salvation. As Pope Pius XII in his encyclical Mystici Corporis, I believe it is, tells us that the crucifixion would not have taken place had not the Blessed Virgin Mary given her consent to it taking place. And it is through the crucifixion, the passion and death of our Lord, that we receive the grace of eternal life. We receive sanctifying grace. And that is why our Lord waited until the crucifixion to announce that Mary is truly our mother in the order of grace. And that our Lord is very upset that so many are ungrateful for what the Blessed Virgin has done for each one of us. And that is why He comes to ask us to make reparation for the ingratitudes as well as the blasphemies against Your Immaculate Heart. And as Pope, or rather as St. Augustine points out, the Blessed Virgin, before conceiving the Blessed Our Lord in her womb, conceived Him first in her heart. And as Father Hess pointed out yesterday, it is the heart, and it is through the heart in its fullest sense, that charity and love for us resides. And of course it is her heart which first of all is offended by ingratitude and blasphemies. And it is her heart that is attentive to the voice of our supplications, as the angel said to the three children in the summer of 1916. You should play less and you should pray more. The holy hearts of Jesus and Mary are attentive to the voice of your supplication. At very least, since we're so weak and so far away from the sanctity that God wants us to have, He comes not once but twice to ask us to at least give 15 minutes in meditation once a month, to spend maybe another half hour at Mass receiving Holy Communion, another 15 minutes praying 5 decades of the Rosary, and spending 5 minutes to 20 minutes, whatever it takes, to prepare and go to confession and do your penance. It's really not a whole lot that our Lord is asking of us. Surely we can do that much. God bless you.
Please console your Heavenly Mother by offering her reparation with the First Saturday Devotion every month. And we encourage you to include them in a worldwide spiritual bouquet by signing up for our First Saturday Challenge. Go to fatima.org/100x100. Our goal is to offer Our Lady 100,000 First Saturdays by the 100th anniversary of her request, which she made at Pontevedra on December 10, 1925. You can learn more about the First Saturday devotion with our booklet, The Magnificent Promise. Father Gruner referenced it in his talk. And then, please also share this podcast with others. As Father said, we can all tell someone else about this powerful devotion. And please, prayerfully discern, including the Fatima Center, in your monthly tithe. Regular monthly donors are absolutely vital for our continuing operation. To support Our Lady's Apostolate, please visit our website, fatima.org, or call us at 1-800-263-8160. This wonderful presentation has been brought to you by the Fatima Center. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved. Sacred Heart of Jesus, Thy kingdom come. Immaculate Heart of Mary, be our salvation.